What's going on, Suns fans? Justin here, and with me, as always, is my podcasting partner, Paul.
Do you like scary movies?
And we are here with this week's episode of Bright Side of the Suns for the fans, by the fans podcast. And may I start off, Paul, by saying that's a little like late right there with like the Scream Halloween type thing. A
little bit.
It's because we missed last week, so yeah. You still wanted to get it out?
Still wanted to get it out.
That's fair. That's fair. I can't really blame you for that. All right, so it has been, well, it's been an interesting week for the Suns. Are you talking about yourself or the Suns? Well,
from a game standpoint, it's been rather right. Underwhelming.
But are we still talking about you and your choice of intro comment there? Is that
you
underwhelming?
You know I'm underwhelming.
Oh. Well, give yourself a little credit, bro. Come on. Okay, so
I'm just whelming.
You're whelming. It's average. I like that. Okay. My good friend Eric Bledsoe is no longer with the Suns as of this past Tuesday or Wednesday, whenever that trade was.
Daughter's still at gymnastics.
Yeah. Well, he was not at the meet today, but probably because he was in Milwaukee or was it in San Antonio? Whatever. Either way, it wasn't Phoenix. Jeez. So you owe me a soda. First things first, though, a little bit of housework.
Keeping.
Housekeeping. House cleaning. Brightside night. It's now like back on officially. I said last time we recorded, I think it moved. Then I wasn't sure because I couldn't find the article. And then I talked to Dave and he's like, yeah, it's moved. So it is moved. It's been officially rescheduled now. It's January 14th against the Pacers. Prices have also changed. Last year it was $15 per ticket, $15 donation, I should say, gets a young, underprivileged child a ticket to a Suns game. Went up to $19. When it was first put out this year. Now it's down to $9. So $9 per ticket.
You can't.
$9 donation to send an underprivileged kid to a Suns game. Got to do it. But.
Can't not.
You're right. But there's more.
But wait. It gets better.
You buy 10 tickets. You donate 10 tickets. $90 gets you 2 tickets for yourself to the game. And if you're one of the first 25 to donate, you get to attend a pregame Q&A session with Ryan McDonough himself, which we went to last year, which was...
It was really interesting.
Very interesting, very enlightening. He's a very forthright guy. I think we can all recognize and understand that he's not exactly one that really hides emotions or pulls punches.
Does he have emotions?
I'm sure he has. Absolutely, he has emotions. He gets angry and then starts calling players and agents out in public. I love it. It's fine. But then on top of that, if you don't happen to not be one of the first 25 to donate $90, Paul, I don't know if you know this one yet.
I do not.
Yeah. I got the inside dish. Although
bated breath.
I also just read it online. If you're one of the first 50 to give a $90 donation, you get to attend a shoot around for an hour on the court after the game.
Ooh.
Although, Paul, I know you have an injured shoulder, so...
I can shoot lefty.
All right. So there's that. So go to the website, brightsideofthesun.com. Obviously, you know that because you're listening.
Awesome.
And you can donate there. It's a great cause. Like Paul said, no reason to not do it. And there's some perks there if you've got the cash sitting around to at least give $90. So let's move on to business. Your Phoenix Suns, your Eric Bledsoe-less Phoenix Suns now. The Suns
your
finalized.
Greg Monroe joining.
Possibly. Maybe.
He was a shoot around
today. Oh my God, we got to stop doing that. That's weird. Yes, Greg Monroe. So Bledsoe, as you maybe have already heard, and if you hadn't, Paul just told you right there. Bledsoe traded earlier this week to the Milwaukee Bucks, or is it Milwaukee? Milwaukee? You know that movie? Come on, Paul.
Wayne's World?
Alice Cooper? Come on. Jeez. Traded to the Milwaukee Bucks for Greg Monroe, who is owed $17+ million this year, but is off the books after this year, assuming he's sticks around for the year. And a oddly protected, I guess I'll put it, first round pick. Although you said earlier this week, you told me it's getting more common for weird protections like
that.
Yeah,
those like middle pick protections.
Yeah, so and that the protection on that pick, again, in case you have not heard or did not know, you want to hear it again because it's kind of difficult to remember. I had to write it down myself. 2018, the Suns get it if it falls between 11 and 16. 2019, the Suns get it if it falls between 4 and 16. 2020, the Suns get it if it falls between 8 and 30. And then if it goes into 2021, it is unprotected.
And there was a second-round pick in there too, right?
I'm getting there, bro. But yes. Yes, there was. You are correct, Paul. There is a second-round pick, 2018. 2018 second-round pick, the Suns get if it's between 48 and 60. But then if it carries over, it's gone. The Suns don't get it. So
Weird little quirk there.
Oh, let's hear it.
If the Milwaukee Bucks end up with the 17th pick in the draft, we get nothing this year.
Hmm.
Because it would roll to the 47th pick in the second round.
That is a weird little quirk there.
Yeah.
Hmm. But at the same time, the Suns have the chance of having three of the top 16 picks in the draft this year. Which I don't know where, you know, obviously at that point you've got to move some of those because you can't put three more rookies on this team.
No.
But, you know, Paul, thoughts on the trade?
I mean, didn't have the greatest leverage in the world. I mean, maybe you could have waited another week and watched Cleveland lose a couple more games and get desperate. But, I mean, they'd have to get really desperate to give up that Nets pick, which is really the only asset that they have that we would want.
Which pick, it might not even be as good as one would expect. You know, obviously better than the Bucks pick, and all like, well, definitely. Unless something horrible happens in Milwaukee, which I hope it does not. Because I like that team, actually.
Yeah,
they're
a fun team. I mean, they got a lot of good players. They're interesting to watch. They're fun. Giannis is called a freak for a reason.
Yep. My good friend Eric.
Your good friend Eric.
He's still blocked on Twitter, but that's fine. Yeah. We're over that now. Go on, Paul. I interrupted,
but, I mean,
like usual.
So there really weren't a lot of great options out there for the Suns with teams that needed a player like Bledsoe and also would be interested in trading and giving up anything remotely decent of assets. So getting a first-round pick for Bledsoe and clearing off – not having to really take on – a bad contract.
Right.
Like, you know, having to take on Omer Sheikh and his 3 years and $17 million per year or whatever ridiculousness that is to get Bledsoe off the books. So we're in a really good cap situation going forward. Granted, we're not a very attractive destination right now. But I mean, that can always change. So we'll see how it goes, but it can't hurt to have those picks because it's McDee's restocking that war chest for potentially if there's another tradable player that wants to move. That now we have picks that can compete again because we kind of gave up some of those picks and kind of and a lot of them were a little bit more in the future, like those Miami picks. Those are now getting closer, and we're picking up other picks too. So.
Yeah, absolutely, and I'm kind of in the same boat as you. I think that, you know, it is what it is. I mean, the situation could have been better. I think both sides handled it poorly, frankly.
Yeah.
But again, it is what it is, and I think McDee did what he could in the situation.
Yeah.
Which I guess, as a Suns fan, you kind of get tired of saying that though too, because you know we look back and we've had this happen a few times over the past few years where. We've had this conversation even before we started doing this podcast where we're like, well, based on the situation, it was pretty good, but it's kind of crappy to be in the situation in the first place. But you know what? As Suns fans, that's what we get. That's what we got. And I think getting a first-round draft pick.
We keep putting ourselves in.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. It keeps happening, but you know, whatever. It's at some point, you know,
you sure?
Hopefully it stops. But you know, it's one of those things where you got a first-round draft pick for him. That's a positive.
Yeah.
And like you said, the Greg, not Earl. I keep wanting to call him Earl Monroe. The Greg, because I'm apparently like 60 years old, even though I'm not. The Greg Monroe contract isn't the worst thing in the world, especially because it does come off the books this year. So it wasn't a situation where they, you know, had to move a disgruntled player and then had to take back some crap contract just to get him out the door. They got value back on it. Now, would I have liked to see them kind of let it linger a little bit, see if they could improve some of those offers? Sure. But at the same time, how much better were they really going to get?
Right. And it's from a standpoint of kind of moving past it and just kind of cleaning the slate, just kind of get it over with. Don't let it turn into even though they were keeping him away from the team for all intents and purposes, to not let it become another Markieff situation. It still is a storyline. It's still in the news. Now it's just over with. It's done with. I mean, it'll come back around the next when the Bucks play the Suns, but that's probably going to be it at this point.
Right. And I think he was scheduled to come back to the facility and actually start doing some workouts
and
stuff.
They trade him before that happens. So.
That certainly could have played a role in it as well. But again, positive value, I think. I mean, greatest value in the world? No. Could they have got more over the summer? Probably, but, you know, we've, I think, kind of already gone over that in the last
pod.
Yeah,
we don't need to relitigate.
Yeah, exactly.
Litigate that.
So, okay. Now I guess the question becomes, what happens with those pieces? Because I've seen a lot of people out there, whether it be, you know, writers, people on Twitter, people wherever, Facebook, radio, saying, you know, the Bucks won the trade. And I think if you look at it right now, sure, the Bucks won the trade. But from my perspective, it's not a matter of what they got in, what the Suns got in, as much as it's what do the Suns do with that. Because like I said, we have the opportunity to have possibly three first-round draft picks in 2018. We're not going to use three. If that happens, we're not going to use three first-round draft picks in 2018. And you know, Monroe, while he's fallen out of favor ever since he signed that big deal in Milwaukee, big-ish deal, it was what, 4 years? 3 or 4 years at $17 million a year. But regardless, whatever it was, he's in his last year of it. But, I mean, he's, I think, 3 years removed from averaging like 16 and 10. And he's still a serviceable player. So, you know, the question becomes, obviously there have been discussions about whether they're going to just waive him, whether they're going to try to move him immediately, whether they're going to have him play for a little bit. And I guess that would kind of be the totality of the possibilities. Or I guess they could theoretically keep him all year, but that's not going to happen, in my humble opinion. So what do you think, Paul? What do you think the move is going to be? Or what? Maybe not what you think the move's going to be, unless you want to go down that route. But perhaps what would you like to see them do with Mr. Monroe and or with any of the draft picks they have stockpiled up at this point?
Well, I think I saw in a tweet over the last couple of days, I think it was by our good buddy over at the solar panel, Espo, was made the point of you look to see how the team that trades for a player reacts to them on social media. You saw the Milwaukee Bucks are like, hey, welcome Eric Bledsoe, blah, blah, blah. Dead silence from the Suns. They didn't even like acknowledge that. I mean, maybe there was just a, hey, the Suns traded Eric Bledsoe, blah, blah, blah. But there was no like acknowledgement that, hey, we're bringing this player on. That, to me, makes me believe that there wasn't a press conference to announce that he came over. So it just makes me believe that the plan is that the plan is to not keep him around. And it sounds like Monroe understands that. Like I think he's even said it to the media. He's like, yeah, I understand I was salary filler and, you know, I'll work with the team to kind of figure out what's the best situation for everybody. If they decide to keep me on, I'll be more than happy to play here. If they decide to move me, I'll be amenable to whatever move comes about. I mean, I do kind of feel sorry for him because, I mean, he had offers on the table and he chose the Bucks because he's like, hey, this is an up-and-coming team. Mm-hmm. I want to be a part of that. Unfortunately, the game evolved so quickly in a way that makes him useless to an extent.
Useless?
Not useless, but...
You hear that, Greg Monroe? Paul thinks you're useless.
Well, I mean, he wasn't playing in Milwaukee, and they were paying him.
He's injured.
But even when he wasn't
played 81 games last year.
How many minutes for what he's getting paid?
What do I look like? An encyclopedia?
I don't know, you're the guy with the computer in front of you. But he wasn't playing.
22 and a half minutes.
For what he was getting paid, that's probably...
He's still playing. He's not useless. Just saying.
Give
the guy some slack.
You're right. But, I mean, the game had...
His utility... Took a hit.
Yes.
How about that, Paul?
Yes.
Sounds so much kinder.
His usefulness.
He's a son, man. Be nice. Come on.
So is Caron Butler.
Go on.
But anyways, it sounds like he's accepted the situation and he's going to be amenable to helping it move along to the best resolution for everybody, which I'm happy about. At least he's not just kind of being disgruntled about being moved and whatnot. Maybe he can get himself into a good situation where he can actually be helpful to a team. Watch, we wave him and he gets picked up by the Golden State Warriors. And
that would be great. Good for him. You know, I don't want to, you know, I was just looking at Sun's Twitter while you were talking about that.
I was rambling.
You weren't rambling. You were making points, I think. I don't know. I wasn't paying attention. I was looking at Sun's Twitter. And... they technically posted something about it, But they just posted an NBA.com article. I feel like that's maybe worse. Well, we got this guy who just retweet this really quick. That's sufficient. But at any rate, you know, I from my perspective, I'd like to see them try. I don't want to see them waive him. I mean, ultimately, if that's what it comes down to, so be it, I guess. But again, while Paul might think he's useless, he's a few years removed from being a productive player. Obviously, he's young-ish. Yeah. I mean, he's 27. He still played 81 games last year, like I said, and still put up in that 81 games and 22 minutes a game, 12 and 6, call it.
Yeah, I mean, he's a scorer. So, he's definitely a scorer.
So, you know, I like to think that there's some value out there, perhaps, but you obviously, the problem is then you obviously have to have him on the team and have him play, right. And then you get into that weird situation where Chandler's been out for a couple games with back spasms, but it doesn't seem like anything's going to keep him out that long.
Right.
So he's going to come back. So then, okay, you're gonna let Monroe play to try to show teams out there he has some value. And then what do? You sit Chandler? Well, you kind of want to have teams see if he has value too, because you might want to try to move him,
right.
Although he's older.
I wouldn't be surprised. One of them is probably going to be moved in some way, shape, or form. And so it might just come down to which, like, you know, McDonough dangles both of them, and it's like, which one gives me the best return? That's the one I'm going to move.
Right.
And then the other one just kind of takes that spot.
May I finish?
No. Can I finish?
can I finish? What is that? Ross Perot, right? That
can was, I finish?
See, how come I get your references? You don't know my movies. Whatever, dude. So, but my point being, if that's the route they take,
yeah,
you can't really have Chandler, Monroe, and Len all getting, like,
no.
decent minutes.
No.
So suddenly one of those guys has to go and sit, which puts you in a weird situation because, I mean, Len's kind of a lame duck if that were to be the scenario because
right.
he's, you know, on a one-year
qualifying
offer. And he's unrestricted free agent at the end of the year.
Right.
He probably has a little bit of, you know, butthurt feelings about the whole Suns thing right now, and he might be looking to get out. So maybe it's you do that. But ultimately, you know, I don't know what the heck they're going to do. But I would like to see them try to get some value for him. But then you get into the – I'm, like, talking myself into, like, a pretzel right now because
right.
I think it's almost a bad situation either way. It's a tough situation either way because you're either going to just let him walk and not get any value back for him, and then he truly is just, you know – cap filler for the trade,
right.
Or you kind of have to decide to put one of these other two guys who's been on your team for a few years off to the side while you get a chance to kind of display him.
Right.
I think what's going to happen is they're going to waive him. That's what I think is going to happen. Or maybe they'll get like another super protected second round pick or something.
Yeah. I mean, hey, if we can trade him for a super protected second round pick, sure.
Just lost my train of thought. Sorry. I told you, I just talked myself into a pretzel. Okay, so the draft picks.
Yeah.
Now, one reason I feel like a lot of people, you know, I feel like the discussion on the trade has been negative, and for obvious reasons. And I mentioned this to you the other day, and I think this is probably going to, like, make people cringe when I say this. Mm-hmm. But, you know, back to the idea of moving either, you know, a Tyson Chandler or a Jared Dudley.
Yeah.
As much as I love Dudley, I love Chandler too.
We got history with Dudley.
Yeah, he has zero dunks for me still. I mean, we could have done this over seasons. I was watching the game tonight, and he had like an open lane, and I was like, and then he kind of like started stumbling and made a layup, so that was good. But at any rate, if you want to move one of those guys at some point, and obviously the thing is too with them is Chandler, like last year before. You kind of sit there and go, well, he still has some value because he's a locker room presence. He's a good defender. And this year he seemed really like he's fallen off a lot. Dudley, I think, is kind of in the same boat. They're both great locker room presences. But, you know, a contender is not going to sit there and go, we want to pick that guy up for a stretch run. You know what I mean?
Especially at their prices.
Right. So what I'm getting at here with the draft picks, and again, back to why it's going to make people cringe. You'll know exactly why when I say it. If you want to free up some more cap space before next summer, which is going to be a summer that's going to have some decent free agents out there, maybe you dangle one of those first round picks to get a team to take one of those two salaries. Because right now, as it stands, once Monroe comes off the books, they're going to be about $21 million under the cap. 22, 23, something like that.
Yeah.
So you take another 9 or 13, depending on one of those two contracts off, and, you know, that's plenty of cap space in, like I said, a pretty decent free agent class, which has, I'd like to add, two young centers who I'm very, very high on.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Which two are those?
Nurkic and if I could say their names. Nurkic and Jokic, yes. Now, Jokic, I think, is restricted, but, you know, regardless.
I think both of them are technically restricted.
I don't know. I'm not sure. But I didn't look up both. That seems like a lot of work.
But, yeah, I mean...
Does that make you cringe, Paul?
No.
Kurt Thomas?
Yeah. Well, two first-round picks.
Yeah. I have a much more reasonable idea, clearly.
Well, I mean, I think, for one, I think they changed in the last CBA. One of the rules that they changed was it used to be that the protections on a pick that you received from another team, like, you couldn't add additional protections. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, you get a top three protected pick, you can only trade it as a top three protected pick. Now I believe you can add additional protections to that.
Okay.
So it's like, okay, say you got the Nets pick is top three protected, let's just say. And we get it, and then we trade it, and it's top seven protected. So if it falls in that 4-7 window, we still get it.
Okay.
But whereas prior to that, you could only trade it with the original
protection. Oh, and you lost me, what, the Nets pick?
I was just using a hypothetical Nets pick as an example.
Couldn't you just use, like, the Heat pick or the
I was trying to
or
use
the Bucks pick
with like very like
I got you. I'm giving you a hard time.
I got.
So, but I mean, does that seem like a reasonable idea? I mean, assuming the Suns are interested in taking that approach and freeing up, because they've talked for a few years about how they're set up for, I want to say they've been saying though, 2019, to have enough cap room to sign two max deals.
Right. Which is when Dudley and Chandler come off the books.
Would be coming off the books.
I'd rather take those picks, package them all together, and try to move up in the draft.
Oh.
Like, assuming... like I would.
How far up do we need to move? Because the way Suns are playing, we might not need to move that much.
We may not need to move that much, but even still, I mean, I think Luka Doncic would fit in really nicely.
Where?
At point guard?
He's not a point guard, though.
Yeah, he is.
No, he's not.
He can play point guard. He's like a...
I don't know. I'm just saying this so confidently to see how you would react.
He's a point
I'm
guard.
Pretty sure he's a shooting guard. Isn't he a shooting
I'm
guard?
I'm pretty sure he's a point guard.
Let's find out. I'll look it up. But you go on.
But him next to... I mean, he is lighting it up in your league. And put him next to Booker. And then we'll see. We get another year of... So now you've got Booker, Doncic, and Warren as scorers. And then... you've got Bender, and I don't know. Honestly, if we get him at a reasonable deal, I'm liking what Len's doing and finally kind of figuring himself out, keeping him around possibly at a reasonable price as just like a serviceable starting center. And then, you know, you've got...
He apparently plays every freaking position of the Sun. Yeah, okay.
Because, I mean, when he was playing for with
Point
Dragic...
Point guard, shooting guard, small forward is what
he
was.
Yeah, so when he was playing with Dragic over the summer on the Serbian team, he was playing small forward, but I think... in EuroLeague, he actually plays point guard. It's so weird. He's like Jalen Rose.
You seem very excited about, like...
He's like a better Jalen Rose. Okay. A better, whiter Jalen Rose.
A Ben Simmons, perhaps? With a little less height, because Ben Simmons is 6'10", but...
And I think Ben Simmons making a mistake trying to classify himself as a point guard. He's got a better shot at making the All-Star team if he stays as a power forward in the Eastern Conference.
You should advise him on that. okay. I mean, I'm not against that idea, I guess. Speaking of the draft, though, I watched U of A's game tonight, and maybe I'm a little partial, but yeah. DeAndre Ayton looks just so damn good. I feel...
what position does he play?
He's a center.
Okay.
And he's... 18 years old, 19 years old, whatever he is, and the fluidity with which this guy operates at the size that he has, And the polish he already shows at that age in his post game, shit, maybe Len could learn something from him if he's still, he probably wouldn't be around though, if you know. But I would love to see him in his son's uniform, frankly. And I guess at the same time, now that obviously Bledsoe's gone, point guard is a glaring spot. Although Mike James has been pretty impressive in spurts.
In spurts. That's the thing.
Since he's been back. But yeah, so.
I don't know. We still got Brandon Knight.
Oh, I forgot about him. I feel like now I need to start being like nicer towards Brandon Knight, I guess. Because
he may be a starting point guard.
Yeah, so I should stop blaming everything on him and all of that fun stuff that I normally do. Brandon Knight, we miss you. Get well soon. Stay sharp with your basketball talents. We're looking forward to getting you back on the Phoenix Suns. Was that good?
Yeah.
Okay. So any other thoughts, Paul, on this tumultuous week? It's not really tumultuous, I guess. I mean, it was just a matter of time before it happened.
Well, I mean, clearly since the last time we potted, the Suns have lost a handful of games. They kind of fought, the new coach bump has worn off, it seems. But the difference in these losses versus the losses prior under Earl,
see, not by 40.
Yeah, not by 40. That's where you're getting the Earl from.
Maybe. He's channeling himself through. He's like, Justin, don't forget me. But go on.
They're trying, which is really what I like to see. And for the most part, they're in most of the games. I mean, tonight's game against Orlando, they kind of blew it in the third, came out of the second half flat. But I mean, they had a lead at certain points of the first half and were really competitive throughout it. It just, you know, their young teams kind of fall off.
Right, and you know, I mentioned this when we were watching the Magic, we're recording on Friday, pull back the curtain. It's Friday, right? Yeah. We were watching the Magic game. Like you said, they were hanging in there. They had the lead during the first half. They went into halftime down one, I think?
Two
maybe? And then the third quarter was just a disaster, and the fourth quarter kind of, you know, continued to kind of just downward spiral. But it seems like they always have at least that one quarter that just blows up in their face. Which is where they tend to find themselves falling way behind. You know, they've got 36 minutes or so down pretty solidly, but that last 12 minutes sometimes trips them up, or that third 12 minutes, depending on what quarter it is.
They definitely show fight. At least they're still like they'll have that bad quarter, and they'll fight and get back in it. The problem is they're having that bad quarter. They're not consistent, and I mean that's a hallmark of young teams. I mean, they're not consistent. And I mean, hopefully in the next year or two, we start seeing these players with the experience, you know, kind of making those leaps and kind of learning how to turn those spurts into consistency and just have, you know, be able to play at a kind of steady level throughout the games. And that's where the improvement will come.
Right. And you know, tonight's game, we were talking about this earlier too, Jackson played
probably the
best game he's had this
year.
Best
first half.
And worst three-point shooting game I think he's had.
Some of those were bad.
I'm not too proud to admit that he will have bad three-point shooting games, but you know what? The guy can still shoot. He's going to be fine. But we were talking what I was saying earlier before we started recording is what I love about Jackson too is he just plays with he plays fast. He plays aggressive all the time, and he's still so young that as he improves through his career and as he learns to kind of harness that and control, play with speed but with control, that kid's going to be good. And I likened him to, you know, we talked earlier about how Aaron Gordon has turned into this sharpshooter all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And he was a guy that came out of college.
Yeah,
he came out of college with a suspect shot and has been improving a lot. And I can see Jackson's trajectory. Well, I don't think Jackson's going to be at any point as bad of a shooter as Gordon was when he first came into the league.
We'll see at the end of the season.
You want to make a bet?
No.
Why so fast?
Because when I make bets, I lose.
Yeah, but I feel like every bet we've made on this one, you've won, right? The whole one bet. When Jared Dudley did not dunk at all last year.
I don't want to make a bet because I don't want it to be true.
No, fair enough. You know, I see.
I don't want to root for something that's detrimental to the Suns.
I gotcha. But at any rate, yeah, no, I mean, I think
I'm Pete Rose in that way.
Like, because he never gambled on his own games. Is that what you're saying? Took me a second there, but I got you. Good reference. It's impressive. But yeah, no, I think they're, it's been frustrating, obviously, the last few games, but it's kind of what we expected.
Yeah.
You know, what we didn't expect was losing by 40 plus points in two of the first three games.
Playing like they don't actually know how to play the game of basketball.
Right, right, right.
Well, actually, that's not true. They didn't play like they didn't know how to play the game of basketball. They played like they didn't care about playing the game of basketball.
Right. Sorry, I'm just still looking at this Luka, because I haven't looked much into him, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
But I did predict last year the Suns would take Josh Jackson. It was probably about this time. Now it's a little later in the year, but I'm gonna say the Suns are gonna take Ayton. I'm just gonna say that.
I still think.
Oh yeah. And he will. He will. Because I still think that, even though I just admit I haven't looked into him a whole lot, I still think that. I can't even say the dude's name, Luka Doncic. I still think he's projected more of a two.
See,
I mean, just from size and from looking at his stats. My research.
I think I think the Suns, and maybe with one of those later picks, are going to take LiAngelo Ball, because that's just what we do. We take the lesser brother.
Assuming he's out of Chinese prison by then. Assuming, right?
Yeah.
God, that would be horrible. That would be so horrible. Why don't we just draft LaMelo before he even goes to high school or college? Excuse me. Okay, we've lost ourselves a little bit here. I think you threw me. I got thrown off when I started looking up stats, and I'm like looking at this dude. I'm like, oh yeah, a little foreign guy, not that little, 6'7".
Yeah.
But you know, I'm surprised hearing that from you too, because you're such like a I love the pure point guard. I want to pass first point guard. And now you're saying that this guy who's going to be a scorer, you'd want to take him first and have him run point guard. Seems contrary to the Paul I know. What's happened?
Well, I love
pass think he just didn't like guards. Eric Bledsoe. Jerk.
Put me on the spot. No, I did not like Eric Bledsoe.
Wow.
But
go on.
I like Dragic better. If I had had my druthers, he's the one I would have kept,
mm-hmm.
or I would have preferred
mm-hmm.
to have kept.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I mean, I like passing point guards, but at the same time, the league has evolved, and you got a lot of point guards who are
positionless these days.
Yes,
right?
Positionless. Really, the only position that is not positionless is the point guard spot. But Doncic could be the type of player who could be positionless at that position.
Jesus.
I think we
need to wrap this up. I got you. And I think we're getting way ahead of ourselves talking about the draft right now. I'm going to go actually research this. And we can talk about it next week. So I'm going to come prepared then. I just don't watch any foreign basketball. I haven't really been paying much attention to the draft yet, because it's November 10th, 11th or 12th by the time
Suns fans operate these days.
Whatever, dude.
Start paying attention to the
5 days ago, I was ready to go to my Suns championship parade at the end of the year. No, I'm kidding. That's hyperbole, just for the record. So, on that note, one last reminder that Brightside Night is going to be January 14th against the Pacers. Make those donations. At least make a donation. Just one.
It's $9.
$9.
Less than lunch.
Or make 10. Where do you eat lunch?
Chipotle.
I don't even go out for lunch. Well, I work from home, so that's probably why.
Panera.
But go and make those donations. And as always, you can catch me on Twitter at So Says Jay, and Paul
at Dervish of World.
Indeed. And until the next time we join you and talk nonsense about drafts that are a year away. Because that's what we do.
That's what we do.
Have a good afternoon. Oh, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. You have nothing? Wow.
I got thrown off.